Everybody. It is 2 p.m. Eastern. If you are joining us live, if you are not, I have no idea what time it is. And it is Friday. And if you're joining us not live, I don't know what day it is. But we are glad that you are here anyway for another kick-ass career conversation. I am Kim.
And I'm Louise.
And we have with us today,
Jillian.
Yay, Jillian. We will let the world know a little bit more about you in just a moment. But we want to start this week the way we start every week. What are we celebrating this week?
Yes, I ask this question all the time. I'm just going to take a little side note here. Every session I have with every client, we start with this question. And I would say more than half the folks go, oh, that's a good question. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to ask it. You know it. And yet you still find it, right? Take pause, to reflect. And we still don't do it enough, even if we know it's coming. So yes, I'm celebrating. I signed up again for my, I think that I would say this is my third improv class.
Ooh.
I know, right? Still super scary, even though I've done it a few times. And going to our first class last night, there were folks there that were like, just, you could see it. They were vibrating at the beginning. They were nervous and scared, and like two little short words, one syllable words would come out of their mouths. And then before you knew it, right, an hour and a half later, we were all laughing and just in the flow. And just, it's so great to see folks just put down that chatter that goes on in our heads and just lean into that fear and do it anyway. So that's what I'm celebrating. Just folks just leaning way, way in and showing up. It was a fantastic thing to see.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. What are you celebrating, Jillian?
Mine's perhaps not as exciting, but I went to my first ever retreat a couple of weeks ago and got sick, and I've been sick ever since. It peaked beginning of the week, and I'm starting to feel a little bit more like myself. I'm still not 100% there, but I'm definitely celebrating that I'm finishing the week feeling at least 70% myself. So that's my win.
That's a huge win. And I hope that doesn't shy you off of doing retreats in the future.
No, but it definitely makes me think twice about what social gatherings do I want to commit to and then potentially risk then getting sick for 2 weeks afterwards. Yeah. But no, the retreat itself was incredible. It was, yeah, the first time I've ever done anything like it. It was specifically business related, but oh my goodness, just having that time to work on my business rather than in my business was transformational. It was so good.
Yeah. Retreats are amazing. I was running one at the beginning of March, and my co-host was coming off of another retreat in which everybody got sick at that retreat. Thankfully, our retreat, that was not true. But then I've heard a number of people just getting sick at different retreats. And I think it's part of us coming back together in new ways and bringing germs from places that, right, those germs have no business being, but because we want to travel, there they are. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, I was also wonder, for me, I've been hustle for so long that this was the first time that I actually was able to take a pause. And sometimes the journeys just come along when you've just taken that pause. So yeah, it could be a combination. No,
yeah.
100%. Because that every time when I was in law school, like I would push through and I would take my exams and everything would be fine. And I would be sick for 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. Mm-hmm. Anytime, right. We've been, first of all, we're depleting ourselves so significantly when we're pushing through and going, even if we have generator personalities, like it still can be depleting. And the minute we slow down, our body goes, oh, now we can get sick. So we have the safety, right. We have the safety to do it. And it's no fun, but I'm glad that you're at 70% and may it continue to feel better moment by moment. And glad that you're here with us today.
We do.
Let's see, what am I celebrating? I'm celebrating that this time next week, Louise and I will be on retreat together in person.
No.
Yeah, I know. Did you lose track of time again?
Yes. it sneaks up, slows down, speeds up, whatever that is. But yeah, you know, Kim, it's been really interesting because we're business partners. And even though we live like half a country apart, I was going to say a country apart, but it's half a country.
When we were a country apart.
I know. But we don't spend that time, that dedicated time to really like dig into that part of our business. Mm-hmm. And really, right, Jillian, like you were saying, like working in the business and on the business are two very different things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we can like, we're locking ourselves up in an Airbnb and
No. I'm not locking myself anywhere. We're going to an Airbnb.
Oh, we have to talk.
I don't lock myself like so.
Oh dear. Should I leave for this part?
No, it's all good. Mom and dad are fine.
All right. Sorry. I totally hijacked you. Carry on, Kim.
Carry on. I'm really looking forward to that because that is on the heels of, I've been working with my mentor, well, not on retreat. I've been working with my mentor, looking at relaunching some things that really just kind of need more than a refresh, but not like completely throw the baby out with the bathwater. Horrible saying, but there we have it. So working on that, working with in another group, a mastermind that I'm a part of, and doing some really thoughtful planning in ways different than I run when I run, because I do a lot of quarterly visioning work and a lot of planning for each quarter. Working in this mastermind, we do that as well, but it is in a different format. So getting to look at my business in a different way than I'm used to. It's really exciting because all of these pieces are coming together and then having that opportunity to dive even further into the part of my business where I'm connected with Louise. I'm celebrating that there is that opportunity, right? To look at things from different lenses and from different angles and seeing what comes out at the end.
Ooh, gold. Love that.
Right? Stay tuned because I have no idea yet. Jillian, let's let people know a little bit more about you, shall we? Is that good? All right. Here we go. I'm going to read this. So in case you couldn't tell, Jillian has a little bit of an accent.
Just a wee one.
Mm-hmm. Just a wee one. Mm-hmm. I will do my best not to fall into it because I'm really not making fun. I love accents and I have a theater background, so I will try hard. Okay. I love the Scottish accent. So anyway, born and raised in Scotland, Jillian was the kid that would do anything to skip PE. Amen. Like, seriously, amen to that. Then one day, everything changed. She set herself a goal in 2015 to run her first 5K. That one step took her on a journey from zero movement to running a half marathon in less than 6 months. Charlie is very excited for you as well.
Yes, I hear that.
That one goal led her down the path of becoming a certified running sports nutrition and athlete mindset coach. She has undertaken many certifications to support her clients, including through the United Endurance Sports Coaching Academy, Academy for Sports Fitness Professionals, and the Academy of Culinary Nutrition. She is the owner of GMAC Spur Coaching. Did I get that correct?
Okay, yep. Excellent.
And supports runners of all levels from zero to ultra runner across the globe. Mm-hmm. So glad you ran into us.
I love what you did there.
Oh, please. There was an eye roll that followed.
I love it.
Okay, Jillian, so from a kid who skips PE to an athletic trainer, what, how?
Journey? I ask myself that every day.
How did you find your way to this place, to this career?
It is absolutely wild that, yes, I'm doing now and I'm loving what I'm doing now when up until 9 years ago, I would do anything not to move my body. The most kind of marathons that I did was box set watching. Remember box sets before Netflix?
Yep.
I would do no movement, and I was in complete denial about how unhealthy I was, not only in what I ate, but in how I moved my body. Didn't give two thoughts about it. And it wasn't until moving to Canada that I started then, getting into movement and enjoying how it felt in my body. It never even occurred to me that this could turn into something more. Like, I was completely happy in my learning and development career, had no plans in becoming self-employed. It just kind of snowballed and just turned into what it is today. It wasn't as though I sat down and thought, okay, today I'm going to become a running coach. It just naturally happened, I guess.
So talk about that time when you were in learning and development. What was that a career that you're, this is what I want to do, and I know this is where I belong?
Yes and no. When I started out in learning and development, which must have been about 14 years ago, and prior to that, I had been a personal assistant, and I'd been working for this really great guy in a really great company, great department, and I was offered a maternity cover in the learning and development department. And I absolutely loved it. I loved my manager. I loved the work. I loved the department. Everything was just perfect. I just loved helping people build their confidence, build their knowledge, build their skills. And it was great. And then everybody my level and below was made redundant throughout a learning and development reshuffle. And then I took on a couple of different contracts while still in the UK before moving out to Canada. And then when coming to Canada, that's when things started to unravel a little in that field. The first job that I had was wonderful, great people. And then I moved across the country and things just weren't fitting for me anymore. I had a couple of really bad experiences and completely knocked my confidence. And I did start questioning whether that was the right field for me still. The things that I'd fallen in love with were being overshadowed by numbers and forcing people to do compliance training, and it was like dragging people to do their learning rather than them like hungry for it and wanting to do the courses that were being offered. And I'm a firm believer in things happening for a reason, and it felt as though that the universe kept trying to tell me, like, Gillian, it's time to step away from learning and development, you need to do something else. Yeah, I would quit that job and go into something else, have a very similar experience. The universe would tell me again, like, now's the time, like, do something else. Nope, I know better. And then I would go into another job, have a very similar experience. So it was only 2.5 years ago that I finally listened to what the universe was telling me and quit learning and development. But there's so much in that field. It's so good. And there's so many great people. But it wasn't for me anymore. It just wasn't. I think when you start crying on a night after work, it's time to listen to what the universe is telling you.
Yeah. I mean, that, right, that's the whole idea of this conversation today is when career paths don't fit. And Louise loves talking about trying on different sweaters. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that's what you were trying to find, at least within the L&D space, you were trying to find a sweater that fit. And what you realized was you don't even want a sweater. Like, I don't want the jumper. I'm going to go put on a blazer or a sundress or something else completely different.
Mm-hmm. But I kept squeezing my body into that sweater.
Lots of us do that. Like, what's your sense? Like, why keep trying? Why did you keep, like, over and over again just saying, like I'm in the L&D space and having those bad experiences?
That's a really good question. For me, I think it was more that was my identity. That was my experience. Why would I look for something else? It never even occurred to me that there were other options out there that I could transfer my skills over into a completely different field. It didn't need to be in corporate or in not-for-profit or government, like, or even learning and development. I could have tried something else, but I guess maybe in my late 30s, early 40s, it just, I guess the fear of trying something new as well. Like, I'm no spring chicken anymore. Like, starting from the bottom, learning something new, which is kind of ironic that I'm then helping runners start from the bottom, trying something new, and encouraging them. But yeah, there was a lot of fear, but that's who I was. I was a learning and development professional, and just not knowing that there was another way.
Yeah, I think too, you know, when you talk about crying, my tears usually came in the parking lot in the morning before I had to get into work, right? And you're right, like, hello, like, there's a problem there when we feel like so beat up and our confidence just tanks. And we forget that we have these superpowers, these gifts that we get to choose where we gift them to. Mm-hmm. But I think that confidence piece, right, when we're in an environment that's kind of like picking away and draining at us, like, that tanks. And now we can't even see a way, like, we can't even see a way out. Because we just, it's the environment itself sometimes that can just, right, it's like stepping into a vacuum.
Yeah, and that's completely right. When your confidence is down, that's when it is harder to take that step out. Because, well, who's going to hire me? I'm not any good at what I'm doing. Or, there's so many things that can kind of go through your mind that it's much harder when you're not feeling 100% yourself and enjoying what you're doing and confident in what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Well, there's this level that we tell ourselves a story long enough that we believe it. This is my identity, right? You used that word before. This was my identity. This is who I am. This is, and so you were shutting down your intuition that was telling you, it's not who you are, it's what you do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of that story that we tell ourselves all the time, is what I do is who I am. Even if intuitively, right, if we're sitting anywhere crying about the work we're doing more than a couple of times, that's our bodies screaming out, right, with tears leaking out of our faces saying, hey, there's a problem that you're totally ignoring here. And you're like, we put on the different sweater, we slap some Band-Aids on, and we expect it to, like, I'll fix myself. Right. And that's what I hear that was your process, is I'll fix myself. Mm. And yet it is so interesting to me that the work that you do, like, from what I've not worked with you, so I'm just taking this based on what I've read and what you shared, it's this space of show up as you are, not who you think you have to be. And yet in your career story, up until 2.5 years ago, you were showing up in who you thought you had to be. Mm-hmm.
So nailed it.
So thank you. Okay. So talk a little bit about, right, that mindset shift, that shift for yourself in terms of getting to that next place of, mm-hmm. Oh no, I can teach people to show up as they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, just also looping back to you saying about the crying, like, I'm a firm believer of listening to the body. And that's what I always kind of come back to with my clients. Like, you're the only one that can listen to your body. But I think there's other things, not just the tears, but the tightness in the chest or that lump in the stomach or headaches. Like, there's so many things that our body can be telling us that something's off. It doesn't have to be the tears. It can be like eczema from the stress, or like, there's so many things that our body is telling us, and yet we're just push through. Sorry, I can't remember what your question was.
Can you repeat it? Okay. So, right. And I was just thinking, and it ties into what shows up in your world now probably with a little bit more intention, but also that whole like weight gain, weight loss, unexplainable, quote, I'm doing air quotes here, unexplainable weight gain, weight loss, like all of those things that happen in our bodies. So the question was, how did you get from that place, right? Where tears was one of the things that was showing up for you. And your body, right? Your intuition was saying there's a problem, right? What you do is not who you are. And meeting yourself where you are, how did you get to that place where you, now you're able to be focusing on that with your own clients?
It hasn't been easy, I'm not gonna lie. I quit my last learning and development job. I got to the point where I'd been pushed and pushed and pushed and couldn't be pushed anymore, and I quit. And it was very scary not having the safety net of either another job lined up or my business to a point where I could rely on it. I was really starting from scratch. And pretty much over the last 2.5 years, it has been building back up my confidence, not only in myself personally, but just in how I show up and that I'm not that learning and development professional anymore. And there was so long that I was really pushing away from that identity. That was my focus, was pushing away from it rather than forward facing, being pulled towards something new and exciting. And it's only, I would say, in the last 6 months maybe that I've stopped focusing so hard on who I don't want to be and focusing instead on who I do want to be. And I think had I not done so much mindset coaching, which has now allowed me to do so much more of that with my clients, had I not done that for myself, I don't know what state I would be in right now. It's definitely been a gift in that horrible period of my time. A period of my work has allowed me to then really kind of get under the hood and kind of see what's been going on, and then allow me then to put what I've learned from going through difficult experiences, from the trickster brain, my paradigms telling me that I'm not good enough, that whatever else the horrible paradigms are, but that has then helped me now work with my clients when they're also struggling with learning to run or with achieving any goal, because the mindset stuff is, it's pretty much universal. It's the same kind of narrative that keeps coming out time and time again. But yeah, it's been hard. I'm not gonna lie that I decided to quit my job and then off I went and had this wonderful shift in career, and it's all been roses. It's not.
It's not. It's tough. It's probably the toughest work I know I've ever done on myself, mm-hmm. is because you are shedding those stories mm-hmm. that you've carried for so long that you don't even know you're carrying them. It's like that. Mm-hmm. It's like you're walking around with a set of armor. Right? You've had for so long, you don't even know how heavy it is until you start like looking at it and you're like, oh, I get to take this off and put it down. And then you're like, well, that's lighter. Where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And it's more, and it's unpacking. I see this all the time with folks that come to hire me for that very, right? Like, I just want a new job. It's all shiny. Like, help me transition. And it's like, ooh, let's talk about the next underneath layer. Let's talk about your own self-awareness. Let's talk about your own shit before you go looking on the other side of the fence, and let's do that work. And that's that transformational piece. That's the piece that allows you to not go back to another crappy job, to not fall backwards to, right, to believing those stories, to not picking up that armor again. So it's tough, tough work. And I don't think everyone sees it as that until they see it as that.
A lot of people don't even see it. I think that's so, I mean,
yeah.
I was running one of my groups, and most of the people who are in my world that I work with, they're business owners, entrepreneurs and founders. And I said, so what's blocking you? and it was crickets. And I was like, no, nothing is blocking anybody right now. You're all fine. You're all moving forward. You're doing what you want to do. And they're like, well, no, but I wouldn't say I'm blocked. I'm like, okay. So we just continue the conversation. Lo and behold, throughout the conversation, they're sharing these like, well, this, you know, this is, gets really challenging and I don't know, really know how to move through it. So I don't move through it. I kind of put it aside and I go work on something else. I'm like, is that, that's not a block? So they don't see it. Right. It's not, they don't even get to that place of acknowledging that there is something in the way. Going back to the tears in the parking lot or the tears at the end of the day or the eczema or the weight gain, whatever that thing is, it's like we don't see it. We don't want to acknowledge what that thing is. What's that about?
And typically when we do, how we do one thing is how we do something else. So if you're putting your head in the sand for a project at work or to lose that final 5 pounds or you're not getting the bathroom, whatever it is, if you put your head in the sand for one thing, it's likely you're putting the head in the sand for a bunch of other things. But until you've had the experience of being at retreat or having a coach or having somebody be like, is that the best way to be doing the things? Or calling them out or being like, are you sure you don't have any blocks? Like, how do you know that what you're doing isn't what's sabotaging you or holding you back or keeping you stuck in a job or an unhealthy relationship or any multitude of things?
Yeah, it's those mirrors that we hold up for others, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, Jillian, to your point of, there is a lived experience. So we are all well-trained, right? We all have these long lists of trainings and certifications and all of the things that we have learned to do in our specific areas. And we also all have lived experience. And I think that that's something that it does set people apart, that from when you go into a, I don't know, different type of role, where it's like you're expected to be an expert on all things. We're not saying we're the expert in somebody else's life, business, whatever. We're saying we're experts in our own. And here are, right, now I understand what that block or that mindset sticky, right, those sticky thoughts. We understand what that feels like. So we can lean into that a little bit further with you and hold that space for you, which not everybody can. I mean, I think that that's something that is, it's not something that's going to come up on a CV, but it is something that is so powerful that we bring to the table in the work that we do. Would you agree?
Oh, completely, 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. What are the threats? Because, you know, when you were talking about when you were in the pre-yucky space, we're just gonna just call that yuck when you're not feeling like you belong there. Mm-hmm. There were threads though that I saw, like the things that you did that you loved, the people that you worked with, like when you had a role that allowed you to be yourself. Like I hear in the things that you currently say, like there's things that pull through. Mm-hmm. your gifts and talents have that you're using now, you had before too.
I agree. But I think there was a lot that perhaps was more muted, and in still getting to know myself in that pre-yucky time, I was very shy and a wallflower. I didn't want to be the center of attention. I didn't like doing the facilitating stuff. I liked to be behind the scenes. Whereas now I feel as though I've dialed that up and I'm really kind of stepping into to being me. But in those early years, yes, there was a lot of threads that are now here, but it feels like it's completely just ramped up significantly. But yeah, there definitely are threads for sure that have traveled through and evolved, and as I'm learning more about myself, more things are coming to light.
Does that mean that you're finding better fit for yourself?
Oh, that's an excellent question. straight away my brain was like, nope, 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 nope. But that's the paradigm.
Yeah.
That's what's going on. But I think I am getting more comfortable in who I am, how I show up. And I guess to an extent as well, I'm still learning how to be Jillian, the CEO, the business owner, the running coach, without that armor, as Louise was saying, of being that professional in that corporate setting. So it's still trying to learn who I am as a person, as a business person, as a coach. I think I'm probably just always going to be evolving and digging more into who I am. I don't think we ever stop, but it's definitely been a bit of a trotting along whoosh in the most recent
growth edges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really interesting how I think too, you talked about, you know, when you have your head in the sand in one place, you probably have your head in the sand every place, and how you do one thing is probably how you do everything, if we're going to be honest. And I find too, is that, and this is what I loved about when I was on your challenge, your movement challenge, is how you and I first connected, was that when we can find this small thing to start making a change, to feel more empowered about like who we are and that we have control, and we start looking at things differently or hearing things differently, approaching things differently, it's the start. It's like, it's creates these ripples that now you start to look at other things differently. And I see that, because like your challenge was super easy. I mean, it was a challenge. You don't get me wrong. It was called a challenge, but I mean, you made it simple. Maybe that's not the word. Simple is the word. And by doing something every day, by having a commitment every day, by having a group of people that you work with every day on something simple, you start to see things differently. And then I think that has ripple effects in all kinds of places in people's lives. They look at how they show up in their relationships differently, right? We heard it on those calls, right? People are looking at things differently.
Mm-hmm. Again, you're both asking me questions or pointing things out that hadn't even occurred to me before, but that's
we're really good at what we do.
You really are. Feels like I'm being coached. But no, that's... I really like to, whether it's my 31-day movement challenge or whether I'm working with a client for 12 months, I like it to be simple, as you said, and that slowly building up, building that confidence. That's where the L&D professional in me, like just slowly building up. But it's recognizing the small wins and celebrating those, not waiting until you get to the finish line of a race and being like, yes, I got this time, that's what I was wanting, versus, you know what, I showed up when I really didn't feel mentally good, or it was a really busy day at work, but I still managed to lace up and do a walk as part of the challenge. Like, I like to really focus it as those small wins. And movement is one of those things that it's so hard, like seeing the influencers online, like, oh, you need to be shredded and go to the gym for 10 hours a day, when in actual fact, it's just do what you can and get those wins, and you can control how you show up. And like you were just referring to there, Louise, like when that starts happening, when you start feeling good about yourself and something that you can control, not necessarily going to the gym every day, but just what small wins are you then starting able to have that ripple effect and start building your confidence in other ways and showing up in different ways? It can be really, really powerful. And I think there's probably a lot of places us humans can start getting those little wins in. And then you look back a week, a month, a year, and you're like, oh my gosh, like that's what I did. And that, like, whether I'm a nice coach or not, I like to regularly remind my clients when they were crying because they were doing a 4K run and they were really scared, and now they're training for their third half marathon. Like, I like to remind them that, you know what, like, that's where you were. Now look where you are. Like, that's huge. Like, the growth that you've experienced is massive. But at that time, the 4K was so scary to you that you were sitting in the car crying and I was on the voice messaging to you going, come on, like, this is just half a kilometer more than what you were doing last week. Come on, you can do it. Dorothy, it's just those wins and then that ripple effect for sure. Yeah.
Well, it's like what we started off with our conversation around celebrations, right? It's the Louise was sharing about doing improv and how the first time, how, right, you're getting maybe one or two syllables out. And now, right, even 90 minutes later, let alone three rounds later, you're like, hey, I can't wait to do this. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with going to your first retreat. It's like, I don't really want to get sick, but I know how much I got from being there. And so I look forward to what's going to be on the next one. Mm. And for me, talking about, right, looking at my business from multiple angles and having an opportunity. So it is about slowing down, reflecting, celebrating, adjusting, and moving forward. Right? That's really what the process is. And that's when we recognize that something is off, whether it's, again, the added I don't know how I lost or gained this weight all of a sudden, or I all of a sudden really bad skin, or I'm sitting in the parking lot crying. Pause, reflect, think about what's going on, look at it from different angles, try something different, move on, assess, do it again. That's really the process that we're talking about. And it works in every area of our lives and our businesses. Yeah.
I think it's just happened. I don't know if courage is the right word, but just having the confidence to take that first tiny step, whether that is admitting to yourself that the career that you're in isn't for you, or that crying isn't the right fit. Like, crying shouldn't be normal, sitting in the car park waiting to go into your job.
Crying is normal. Crying is, I don't want anybody to misconstrue that.
No, but like the fear, the sadness, what we're feeling in relation to going into work. Yeah, crying is great. But yeah, taking that first step to make that change, whether that is like doing something like the improv or learning to run or having a look on LinkedIn and seeing what other careers are out there, or speaking with Louise and seeing like what does spark joy for you? What do I want to do as a next step? But just take that next step.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the secret to improv, to be honest. And so the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me in improv was we're all standing in a circle and you know that your time is coming where you're actually going to have to step into the middle of the circle. You're going to have to do something, right? There's an instruction. There's a thing you got to do, and you don't know because you got to go off the person that's going to go right before you. So you can't even plan it. You don't even know what you're going to do. And so then it comes to my turn and I can't even move my feet. I can't move my feet into the circle. And my instructor comes up and he's like, just start walking. And I'm like, but I don't know what I'm going to do. He goes, you will when you get there. And I'm like, no, I won't. He goes, trust me. And sure enough, right? Two steps into the circle, I'm like, I got this, right? And it's like, at first it's a question mark, this? And then, right? And then you're like, oh yeah, that is, yeah, I think it does fit, like right on. Because there is no wrong answer. Everything fits. It doesn't really matter. But it's that movement. Like, don't stay stuck if you don't know what's next. Mm-hmm. Like, just do anything different. Just move. And I think that's one of the great things about your challenge too. And like that whole space that you're in is just move, just do something different, move. And you'll be amazed that you actually know a lot more than you thought you did 2 steps ago.
Oh, that story gave me a little bit of anxiety just thinking about it. Maybe I should do some improv.
Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. I'm an addict now.
Yeah. Improv is pretty phenomenal for helping us realize that there is no wrong answer.
Yeah.
Because the reality, and it's the same thing in our businesses, it's the same thing in our careers, mm-hmm. it's the same thing in our relationships, it's the same thing in parenting, it's the same thing with our bodies, right? Mm-hmm. There is no wrong answer. Like, here's the thing. We walk around this world thinking somebody has the answer for us. Louise, you and I talk about this all the mm-hmm. time. Who actually has the answer for you? You. But again, we're not seeing it because we think we're doing it wrong. And we think that if we get it right, because, right, everybody else is getting it right. So, right, again, air quotes. There is no wrong answer unless it's wrong for you. And then don't do it. I mean, yes, I'm oversimplifying it, but the reality is just stop doing the thing that's not right for you. I don't know what the right next step is. Go take one. Two steps into the circle, you'll know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the strap line of this whole conversation. Take that few first steps and you'll know what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, look at that. We just spent 40 minutes having this. I know it goes fast, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Amazing conversation. I would love to know what our golden nuggets, what we're hoping people take away from this conversation. Mm-hmm. Or what we're personally taking away.
For me, pretty much what we just talked about there in taking that first step, and that nobody else has the right answer for me. I'm unique. The only right answer is the one that I can do, like what step it is that I'm taking. But even if it is a wrong answer, what gift is in that wrong answer? That's really what I'm going to be taking away from this conversation.
Yeah. It's the celebrations, right, Jillian? Like as you remind your clients, like if we're not reflecting, if we're not celebrating, then we forget how far we've gone. We forget who we are and where we are, what time it is, if we're not like checking in. And those small celebrations, having a community of people around you that help remind you of that, I think that's what can keep us going. That's really what confidence is at the end of the day. It's like, oh yeah, I did do that, right? Like we actually need that little reflection time and that place to celebrate so that we can fill those buckets. And so it was a great reminder today, again, about that power of celebration, that power of reflection. That can really help keep us moving in the direction we want to be moving in.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I would add is that there's always threads, right? Mm-hmm. We very often think, well, but if I'm this L&D professional, there's no way that I, right? Why am I going to go into this direction to become a movement, a fitness, a running coach? Like what? There's no connection there. Yeah, there are. 100%. There's always threat. If you're ever confused, I dare you to go look up my LinkedIn profile and you will see theater, you will see law, you will see nonprofit, you will see my business that I run. There are threats. There's always threats.
So. Absolutely.
Love it.
Jillian, where can people find you in the world if they want to continue the conversation or want to learn more about what you are doing and how you could help them?
For sure. So I'm on all of the social. Well, no, I was going to say all the socials. I'm not on all of the socials. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. It's gmaxfer_coaching. And then obviously I've got my website, gmaxfer.com. And yeah, as Louise said, I do movement challenges throughout the year. I'm also launching on Monday. I've got my very first 0 to 5K run club. It is virtual. It's for anybody that wants to get into running. I promise I won't shout at you or laugh at you for crying about running 4K. But yeah, I, like you said in the intro, I help runners from zero to ultra marathon. So if you're looking for a little bit of support, guidance, cheerleading, then give me a shout.
Is the 0 to 5K thing on your website? Because this one right here, I'm pointing at myself, might be interested in that.
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it's on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I'm at zero.
And that's perfect. We start off week one, run one, with 2 minutes of walking, 15 seconds of running. Repeat that for 15 minutes. So it is entry level to running. And at the end of the time, you're running a 5K.
Nice. Whew. Bring that up for sure.
Whew. Fantastic. And I'm going to just jump right in. If you want to know what we're up to, you can always find us. I was going to say on all the socials, but you can, I guess, find us on all the socials combined. We're in all kinds of places. You can find out more about us and your kickass career at yourkickasscareer.com. Please check out our events. You'll also be able to check out our fantastic Inspire Eyes Network there too. Next time, next week, same bat place. We won't be in the same place. I mean, we'll be in the same place, but we won't be in like the place we're in. Anyways, we'll be together.
We'll be together in Ottawa.
That's what I was trying to say. I can't wait for this episode of Navigating a Busy Life with Stefan Glaser. And so it's going to be great. So tune in, whatever your time zone, just calculate it to Kim, who is Eastern at 1-2 noon. What time is it there?
It was 2 p.m. Eastern. Do you know what time you started? Just say that.
Hey, I show up all the time, so I know what time I start. Thank you.
Mom and dad are fine.
You two are hilarious. I love it.
Jillian, thanks so much for being on our show today. Thanks for sharing and just coming along this ride. I think the conversation was just so amazing. I hope we carry on. I know we'll carry on off air, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to chat. And thank you for coaching me and giving me prompts that I never thought about. No, that was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you both so much.
Absolutely. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Check us out on all the spaces and we'll see you next week.
Bye everyone.
Bye for now.
Bye.